Paris Hilton and Democratic Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut have joined forces in order to take on the troubled teen care industry. Hilton discussed the trauma she experienced at four troubled teen care facilities. She says new legislation DeLauro plans to introduce would have helped her by establishing a Bill of Rights for patients.
I would have been saved from over 20 years of trauma and severe PTSD. Imagine if it was your child who was suffering abuse, neglect, or death in the name of treatment. Wouldn't you do everything in your power to protect them?
Hilton was speaking with DeLauro on Capitol Hill on Wednesday in order to introduce the Accountability for Congregate Care Act. The troubled teen care industry is currently not subject to federal guidelines. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Coming up, Connecticut prepares for the rollout of COVID vaccines for kids. Progressive activists want Jay Jacobs to step down. And Halloween is almost here, but there are real witches in our region all year round. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut health officials are preparing to begin the rollout of COVID-19 vaccines for kids ages 5 to 11 as soon as federal approval is given. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports there are nearly 300,000 children who would be eligible.
Governor Ned Lamont anticipates Connecticut's rollout could begin shortly after Halloween.
I think we ought to be making the vaccine available to 5 to 12 within the next couple of weeks.
State officials have pre-ordered almost 40,000 doses. Most would be distributed to public clinics and pediatrician offices where children feel comfortable. The FDA meets next week to consider the emergency authorization of the vaccine for children. The CDC's committee meets the following Tuesday, November 2nd. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Progressive activists on Long Island want the head of the Democratic Party in New York to step down over controversial comments he made about his refusal to endorse his party's nominee for mayor of Buffalo. WSHU's Desiree Diorio was there.
About two dozen protesters rallied outside the Long Island office of Jay Jacobs, calling on the state Democratic Party chairman to resign. They say he's not fit to lead due to his refusal to endorse India Walton, a Black Democratic socialist who won the mayoral primary in Buffalo, plus comments he made comparing his decision to endorsing former KKK leader David Duke. Nia Adams is with the Long Island Progressive Coalition.
Here in Long Island, we live in one of the most racially and socioeconomically segregated regions in the country. And the fact that he doesn't understand that, and he doesn't understand why his comment is inappropriate, means he does not understand his office.
Jacobs has apologized for the remark, saying he should have chosen a different analogy. Walton and New York Governor Kathy Hochul have both said they accept his apology. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
You've probably heard of the Salem witch trials, but did you know the same thing was going on in Connecticut? More on that coming up, but first headlines and a message from After All Things supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Governor Hochul wants to protect immigrants from extortion and intimidation in New York. She signed a bill this month that makes it illegal to blackmail someone by threatening to report their immigration status to the federal government. She says the state was built on hard work and determination of generations of immigrants, and that residents should support those who are trying to build a better life for themselves. A packaging company plans to open an 80,000-acre facility in Shelton, Connecticut. Ranpak is a paper-based packaging company for e-commerce and industrial supply chains. It expects to finish construction by 2022 and employ up to 100 people by 2024. Governor Lamont says the company found a skilled workforce in Connecticut. Lamont plans to draw more companies in with his Innovation Corridor initiative. It's set to award hundreds of millions of dollars in grants for new technology and advanced manufacturing by next year. The developer of the estimated $3 billion project to build New York's first large-scale wind farm has asked federal regulators for a 2-year extension. Equinor Energy is building the wind farm 14 miles off Long Island's Jones Beach. The company blames the setback on more than expected wait times to get permits and government approvals. The wind farm will feature 138 turbines and stand almost 900 feet tall. Dozens of Americans, mostly women, were accused and executed for the crime of witchcraft in the 1600s. The Salem witch trials are the most famous, but people were wrongly convicted of witchcraft all across the Northeast. But there are real witches in New England, and they want to honor the dead. WSHU's Davis Donovan brings us a true story for Halloween as part of his podcast, Off the Path.
Real witches aren't supernatural monsters from horror movies. They're people like Elizabeth Labarca.
Do you use the term witch?
Well, I mean, I call myself a witch, but, you know, I...
Full disclosure, Lizzie's a friend of mine. She's also the high priestess of a pagan coven. Lizzie says there are lots of misconceptions about witches and witchcraft. For one thing, witches can be both women and men. And this religion is not devil worship. It's based on folk traditions that are thousands of years old in some cases.
When people see you wearing a pentacle, they think you're a devil worshiper. In a lot of religions, there is a devil. We do not have that in our religion. So it would be silly to say that we worship the devil because we just don't believe in that.
If you go as far back as the 1500s in Europe, there have probably been tens of thousands of people executed on charges of witchcraft. And it still happens in parts of Africa. The most famous in America, by far, were in Salem in the 1690s. The town of Salem put up a memorial to them a few years ago. But Salem wasn't the only place. At least 11 people were executed for witchcraft in Connecticut, and they're far less remembered than the victims of Salem. Beth Caruso is a historian in Windsor, Connecticut. She co-founded a group called CT Witch Memorial in 2016. The group wants the state to officially exonerate those 11 women and men and honor them with a permanent memorial like the one in Salem.
We realized that in order for there to be a push to make that happen, the public needed to know about the Connecticut witch trials because most of the public didn't even know about them.
In fact, the first woman hanged for witchcraft in the U.S. lived in Connecticut, not Massachusetts. Her name was Alice Young. She was forgotten to history until a librarian found an old church record from Windsor, where Young lived.
And on the inside cover, it said Alice Young was hanged, and the date.
1647, almost 50 years before Salem. Better documented witchcraft trials also took place in Wethersfield and Hartford. But we still don't know much about Alice Young, other than her name and her supposed crime of witchcraft. Caruso's own research into local history has led her to a pretty good hypothesis about what happened in the small colonial hamlet of Windsor.
This was after a long winter of an influenza epidemic. The deaths in Windsor more than quadrupled in the same year that she was hanged. And through my research, I was able to see that a lot of those deaths were young children.
Some of those children died right next door to Alice Young. But Alice's children lived. Beth thinks the people of Windsor were looking for a scapegoat, so they chose Alice. Nobody knows how they determined, quote, evidence for Alice's charges. But Beth says women accused of witchcraft would often go through terrible ordeals before they even went to trial.
Part of the list of what they might do is they might tie you to a chair and then see if your familiar would come up to you And a familiar would be any animal. They would keep you awake for 24 hours, deprive you of sleep. This was real torture.
Beth wanted the town of Windsor to recognize Alice Young and another local victim named Lydia Gilbert. Beth enlisted the help of a retired police officer named Anthony Greco. Together, they spurred the town council to pass a resolution in 2017, clearing their names. Alice Young and Lydia Gilbert are remembered in a few small ways in Windsor. Beth and I walk across the town green. There's a circle with a few small memorial bricks. You know, those printed bricks people get to mark weddings or remember a friend?
This is the brick for Alice Young, and on the brick I say, quote, Alice Young, witch-hanging victim, May 26, 1647.
And there's one for Gilbert, a few bricks over. Beth admits these two little bricks aren't much of a tribute. She'd like to see a proper memorial.
These witch trial victims, they were probably thrown in a ditch after their hanging. They did not have a proper grave site. For many, many of their descendants who are learning about them now, who want to pay their respects, they have nowhere to go.
There were a few scattered memorials across the state like these bricks. One went up in Bridgeport, Connecticut in 2019 for a woman named Goodwife Knapp, Goody for short. I was there that day to report for WSHU. The ceremony opened with a solemn air on the bagpipes. Reverend David Spollett of Fairfield's First Church Congregational read the invocation. His predecessor, the church's first pastor, led Goody Knapp up the gallows to die.
As we honor the memory of Goody Knapp, we give thanks for her life, for her honorable end in not accusing others, but bearing the great injustice which was visited upon her with grace and with courage.
At the end of the ceremony, people placed sprigs of herbs on a stone bearing a plaque with Knapp's name on it. Among them, some of Goody Knapp's descendants and members of the Black Hat Society, a group of present-day Connecticut witches. There's one important difference between practicing witches, like my friend Lizzie LaBarca, and people like Alice Young and Goody Knapp. The victims of the witch hunts were probably not practitioners. Perhaps they were just women, mostly, with eccentricities or traits that marked them as outsiders. Still, Lizzie feels a kinship with them.
To be seen as something as other and to be cast aside. And we're pretty much doing the same thing today, just with different groups of people, sadly.
We're doing this as a Halloween episode. Mm-hmm. I want to be respectful about this. These are real people who really died. How do you feel about that?
This is that time of year, Samhain.
That's the pagan holiday that inspired Halloween.
These are times of the year where the veil between this world and the next is the thinnest. And that's when we honor those who have passed on.
And what better way to honor them? Maybe with a permanent memorial and a full pardon. This is Off the Path from WSHU Public Radio. I'm Davis Donovan, on the road from New York to Boston.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And as always, you can send us your thoughts and story ideas to news@WSHU.org. Thank you so much for listening and for sharing our podcast with your friends. I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.